Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in California. And today is Friday, May 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 39 in the second paragraph. So we're starting way down at the end of the page. Starting with the sentence, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, through five sentences, finishing on the next page through the first paragraph at the top, self-knowledge would fix it. So if you go down to the very bottom of the page and go up two lines and then up one more line to the far right, it says Fred. So that's what we're reading today. All right. Today's readers are, we have the 12 Steps, Mary Frances W., the 12 Traditions, Diane M.C., the Big Book section, Michelle A.C., Visions for You is Debbie W., or backups is Robin B., and then Robin is backup for anything else we need. Newcomer greeter is Christine M., and announcements is either Melanie C. or Jody E. The reference numbers are for Thursday, May 21st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,481. That's 23481. And for today's Friday, May 22nd, 7 a.m. meeting is 23,483. That's 23483. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I'm asking Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Mary Frances from Pennsylvania, and these are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances. Next up is Diane M.C. for the 12 Traditions of OA.
This is Diane M.C., recovered compulsive eater. And thank you, Donna, for filling in for. And here are the 12 steps of OA. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you, Diane M.C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. And we're on page 39, the second paragraph, and we're beginning with a sentence starting way down at the bottom with Fred. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. And then we go through to the next page, finishing that paragraph, self-knowledge would fix it. So if you go all the way down the page, the last two lines, and then go up just a little more to the far right, you'll see Fred. That's where we're starting. And I have Michelle A.C. to please read and comment on that part of the paragraph.
Hi, it's Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. We told him what we knew about alcoholism. He was interested and concerned. He had some of the symptoms, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about it himself. He was positive that his humiliating experience plus the knowledge he had acquired would keep him sober for the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. So poor Fred. I mean, Fred's led a great life. Fred's kind of a, if you could be a swaggering accountant, Fred's a swaggering accountant. And he feels like he's got it together. And I think it's interesting to me that they say right off the bat what the problem is, right? That without a spiritual remedy, none of these things, belief, acceptance, conceding, admitting, knowledge, self-knowledge, humiliating experience, none of those things are going to fix it. So why does a spiritual experience fix it? And I've got a phrase stuck in my mind that I heard the other day, which is that we can't change without being loved, that we need to be loved to change. And I think that to me is the center of what this poor swaggering accountant is about to get, which is, if you do this spiritual program and you end up on the other side of the spiritual experience, that love of whatever force you call it in the universe, however you name that, whatever you want to call it, that force of love makes it possible for me to change. And without that, I'm somebody whose thinking is deluded and delusional and dangerous and all of the D words. and I use food and food behaviors as a way to deal with that. And there isn't a possibility of me changing. When two guys come to see me and tell me, look, you've got a problem and we have a simple solution for it, right? It does include self-knowledge. It says, you know, it says in a couple of, you know, places that properly armed with self-knowledge about ourselves, we can win the confidence of another, you know, problem eater or drinker. And so it's not that these things aren't important. I do need to concede, accept, believe, all of those things, but it doesn't work without the spiritual experience. And for me, the crux of it is, if I have love for myself as I am every day in my life, all the time, and I can reach for it all the time because I have had that spiritual experience, agnostic, atheist, believer of God, believer in nature, whatever you are, that love is going to make it possible for me to live this program every day and let God, let some other force that is not my mind, because we're learning a lot about our minds in this chapter, make the decisions for me, show me what the right thing is to do, show me, you know, one of our members says, you know, what would divine love want me to know? And I feel like that's really what this paragraph is leaning towards, which just cracks me up, because you would think an accountant going to Washington, D.C. would be the farthest thing away from a spiritual explosion of love in the universe. And yet that's how this program helps us get there. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle A.C. Okay. Right. So now is the time for your shares. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Alex K.
Susan G., Los Angeles.
L. Florida. Arizona.
Okay, hold on. I got Diane
B.
Susan. There's a second here. I got Alex K., Susan G. in Florida.
Diane B., New York.
I can barely hear you from Florida.
Bruce E.
Thank you, Bruce. Yeah, you're hard to hear. Okay, so then I got Alex K., Susan G., Bruce E. Okay, please continue. I
Diane,
didn't get anyone beyond them.
Diane B.,
Diane.
New York.
Okay, Diane B.
Amanda L., Arizona.
Amanda L.
Michelle W.C.
Michelle.
Regina V., California.
Regina
V. V.
Thank you, Regina. Okay, so I have Alex K. In California, Susan G., California, Bruce E., Florida, Diane B., New York, Amanda L., Arizona, Michelle W.C., California, and Regina V., California. Does that all sound appropriate?
Yes.
Okay, great. So everyone except Alex K., please mute, and Alex will be followed by Susan G.
Thanks, Donna. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K., compulsive eater in California, giving her a brief for today. I was reminded that early in program, even though I said I was a compulsive eater and I said I was powerless, I didn't fully concede to my innermost self, my complete powerlessness. I wasn't fully surrendered, and I struggled with relapse. I kept trying to control the disease myself. I thought just because I wanted to stop and decided to stop, I'd be able to do it. My self-reliance was all I knew, my finite human resources. It's what I was depending on to do that. I thought I could and should be able to figure it out, to solve my problem with my willpower and my thinking, which I could in other areas. not realizing that in this case, my thinking is my problem. So I can't. It can also be my solution. After so many out-of-control binges and feeling miserable, depressed, desperate, and hopeless, I couldn't understand why I didn't learn from that, why I kept doing that to myself. It was so demoralizing. And sometimes in the back of my mind, I had this idea that someday I'd be able to eat my binge foods without a problem, as if I would magically wake up one day and not be a compulsive eater anymore. It's like I was saying, yes, maybe I'm powerless now, but it's temporary. That's what I hoped for, but it was a fantasy. And I'm so grateful that that delusion has been smashed, as the big book says it needs to be. I accept that I'm a compulsive eater and always will be, and I'm okay with that. I'm not resisting it anymore. I don't long to be a normal eater. I'm content as I am. I also know that I need a power greater than myself to solve my problem, because no human power can do it. Only my higher power can remove my food obsession and compulsion. And that miracle has happened. I never could have imagined, in the midst of my struggling and suffering and relapse, if someone had told me that one day I'd be abstinent for over 9 years, I wouldn't have believed them. I would have said that's impossible, yet I'm living it today. I didn't believe in a higher power when I first came to OA, but I sure do now. I've experienced too many miracles, not to so much evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. Keep coming back. It works, and we're worth it. Don't give up before the miracle happens. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Alex K. in California. Next up, we have Susan G. in California, followed by Bruce E.
Thank you, Donna. Good morning, everyone. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. So excited to be able to share this morning. I was moderating yesterday when we started this paragraph, when we described who Fred was. And I think back to how I presented back then, and very similar. I was just fat. I hadn't found the right Monday. I hadn't found the right diet, but I was going to get there. And I couldn't believe that something called Overeat Anonymous was going to help me, let alone enhance my life the way it has, and all of the miracles that would come from, you know, fully conceding. So instead, what I did for 16 years was I came in and out and kept on trying everything, and I just couldn't accept it, because I could lose weight. I just hadn't found the right maintenance plan. I just hadn't found the right trainer. And if you would just stop annoying me, we would be okay. But clearly, I was interested, because I wouldn't have kept on coming back. I wouldn't have kept on coming back. And God, as I always say, just kept on nudging me. Humiliating experiences, lying that I was pregnant, because at the time that I was fat, all the big girl dresses were very poofy, so understandable. And by the third time somebody asked me, I said yes. Seatbelt extender, didn't, nothing did it. Until food just ruined me. Food became my master. And I reached out and asked for help, and I actually called back the person who said, this is what you need to do, because I ghosted many, many sponsors. So I have a lot of knowledge. I know about a lot of things. And one thing that I know for sure is there is nowhere else to go other than here. And in August, I would have had my bum in these chairs for 27 years. And if that isn't a testament or a miracle to God and the 12 steps, I'm not quite sure what is. So with that, I'll pass. Have a lovely weekend. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Susan G. in California. Next up is Bruce E., followed by Diane D.
Well, good morning. Hello, everybody. Thank you for allowing me to come on this call and share. I'm Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida. If you can't hear me, let me know. If I'm not loud enough, let me know. I'll talk a little louder.
Yeah, you're kind of faint. If you can get closer to the speaker.
Okay, I'll step up the volume a little bit here. I'll step it up. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being honest with me here. So I'm Bruce E. I'm in Florida. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. And let's see. Well, there was a guy, I remember, I'll talk about Fred in a minute, but there's a guy that approached me in church, and he drove a truck. He's kind of a pretty kind of a tough guy, too. He drove a truck with junk food in it into the roughest neighborhoods in Jacksonville, and he sold these real high-end boutique chips and all kinds of stuff, you know, all that stuff. And but it wasn't even a local, you know, stuff I'd recognize, but just all but real deep, real high-end stuff, all junk food. And he said, he handed me it, purple colored bags of red, bright red and hot and all this. And he said, here, have one. And I said, oh, my God, no, man, I can't. I'm powerless over that stuff. I am totally powerless over food, but I'm also powerless over specific foods, especially specific foods like sugar and carb and fat items and that kind of stuff. Stuff in bags and boxes. So I am powerless. Well, I think Fred here had not got to the point where he could admit he was powerless. I got to the point, the food addiction caused me to admit that I was powerless, and I am powerless. The food is what brought me into the program. The food is what got me to the point where I could say, I am powerless over this stuff. I am really powerless. Well, Fred hadn't gotten to that point yet. He just said, here's what he said. He says, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. Well, I believe I myself a food addict, but he wouldn't believe it. He hadn't got, the alcohol is going to bring him around, though. It's going to bring him around. And he wouldn't expect the spiritual, he wouldn't accept the spiritual remedy. Well, he was, you know, he had everything going for him in the world. Why would he want to, you know, even think about it, accept the spiritual remedy? Everything was going good for him. You know, he didn't, you know, that's when I expected to accept the spiritual remedy. Thank you. It was when I had everything that going good for me. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. in Florida. Next up, I have Diane B. in New York, followed by Amanda L.
Good morning. This is Diane B., gratefully recovered here in Tarrytown, New York. Fred, you know, you just got to love this guy. I am so much like him, or I was so much like him, right? He believed himself an alcoholic. So that's step one. If he's not doing step one, then he cannot accept the spiritual remedy, because that's step two and step three. And that the steps are in order for a reason, right? But, you know, I had all the self-knowledge I needed. In fact, one time, oh, my gosh, like 20-something years ago when I came into the rooms after a really bad relapse, one of my amends was to myself. And I went on my bookshelf and I got rid of all the diet books, all the cookbooks, all the exercise books, all the guru stuff, you know, whatever I had like shelves of this stuff. And that was part of my amends to myself, was just to get rid of that stuff. Because self-knowledge doesn't do it. It's the higher power, the power that comes, the knowledge that comes from the higher power, right? And I have to tell you, it was very humiliating for me to come back into the rooms. I started in 1986. I left for a couple of years in the early 2000s, came back in 2005 at over 300 pounds, and it was very humiliating. But I also believe that I know all about this stuff. I know how to eat healthy, right? I know how to follow a diet. I know all the rules about, you know, calories in, calories out, whatever. But that didn't do it for me, because I never fully conceded to myself that I was a compulsive eater and that I had this disease. It just wasn't, it was always about my weight. It was never about my food or my spiritual malady. None of that stuff. And it is the crazy thinking, you know, it's the stinking thinking that we're reading about in this chapter that will lead me back into those, into the relapse mentality. So again, you know what, if I don't admit that I am a compulsive eater, which is step one, then there's no way that I can do this, accept the spiritual remedy, because that's step two, and you can't do step two without step one. So this is Diane B. in New York, and I pass. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Diane B. in New York. Next up is Amanda L. from Arizona, followed by Michelle W. C.
Hi,
and
I'm
Amanda, before we start, I'm just going to remind everyone where we're at. We are at the bottom of page 39. We're like, hold on, let me just get to that page. Bottom of page 39, kind of more than halfway through the paragraph, two lines up from the bottom of the page, and then you go up one at the end of the line above. Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. Finishing on the next page, at the end of that paragraph, self-knowledge would fix it. Thank you. Please go ahead, Amanda.
Thank you. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful today for all of you and for the Big Book, and especially for my higher power. What sticks out for me is he said, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. So, I struggled for a long time with step one, but especially step two. You know, I think sometimes that we're too smart for this. You know, I can think my way out of this. I can listen to enough podcasts. I can read enough books. There's a lot of literature out there. There's a lot of information out there. And really what I need, I can't speak to other people, is I need humility. And I need to work with others. And I need to focus on other people. And I'm grateful to be abstinent today. But when I have relapsed, And I am so blessed I had a spiritual experience, because I came into this program an atheist. Atheists, agnostics, people of all religions are welcome here. But when I had a spiritual experience, it changed me. And even though I had a spiritual experience, I still relapse. And I will relapse as long as I do not connect with my higher power and I do not connect with others. But as long as I stay isolated and I make this about myself, I will continue to use. And when I've been in relapse, it's been very helpful to work with other people and focus on them, because this really becomes a disease of me. And I am so, so grateful to be abstinent today, but I know that I can push myself back into the food as long as I think that I can fix this, as long as that I think I have some sort of power over this. I don't. I'm powerless over food. I'm powerless over people, places, and things. But thank goodness that God has the power to help me. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Amanda L. in Arizona. Next up is Michelle W.C. in California, followed by Regina V.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle W.C., a compulsive eater in California. Thank you so much, everyone, for your share so far. And one of the things I just have loved about this program is the first time I read the Big Book, I was like, oh, thank God, I am not like any of these people here. I haven't hit these lows. But one of the things I was taught was to put my name in or to be first person. So when I see like these few sentences of, you know, Michelle was interested in, she conceded that she had some of the symptoms, but she was a long way admitting that she could do nothing about it herself. Michelle had was positive that this humiliating experience of, you know, getting two huge plates of food at a buffet and a comment that a coworker made was knowledge that would keep her, you know, to eat less in front of other people for the rest of her life. You know, self-knowledge would fix it. And you know, that wasn't the case. I just learned to hide food or get things sneaky. All these humiliating experiences that I had over the years about, you know, seconds and thirds and fourths and eating everything didn't give me the self-knowledge that I needed. But what I've learned from working the steps, and I'm working them again, is that, as many people have said, yeah, thinking is the problem that I had, I have. I am a very entitled, selfish, ambitious person, and I think the world should treat me a certain way. And it is it has been just humbling to work the steps, to do the inventory and realize, you know, that, you know, people are human. They're just like me. And while I feel that the world should treat me a certain way or do things a certain way, I'm not here to control others. And the other thing I've learned in this inventory process is that, you know, my part sometimes is that I'm not willing to have a difficult and uncomfortable conversation. And so with this program and learning to be more humble, learning to look at the facts in a way that, like there is inventory, it's on paper, I can bring the light to the issues and the problems and the defects that I have. And I can ask God to remove them, and he may or may not choose to do that. But I think by what I've learned here is by putting these things out there is the first step towards healing and the first step to not needing to turn to food or other distractions that I turn to, and, you know, whether it's food or the compulsive behaviors I have around food. But I love to shop. I love to scroll on social media. I love to start new craft projects. Those are all things that block me from really turning to God for the dis-ease that I have around being an adult, around being a human, around working a full-time job, and around losing my good friend to leukemia. Just it's all these, all the challenges of life, and I appreciate that I have a way and a set of tools as well as outreach calls to process the challenging emotions that I'm going through. So thank you so much for letting me share. Michelle W.C.
Thank you, Michelle W.C. Next up, I have Regina V., and after Regina, we will take more names for sharing.
Hi, everybody. My name is Regina V. from California, and thank you, everybody, for being of service. And you know, you're here, so you're being of service just by attending this phone bridge. You know, it says in the last sentence that he said, oh, self-knowledge will fix everything, right? And that's exactly how I thought when I first came into food programs, because before OA, I was in another food program. And I really wanted to lose weight so I wouldn't go blind, because I was a diabetic. And I couldn't. Like, with my own will and my own power, I could not lose anything. I realized I couldn't lose a pound, and that if I didn't join the program, I'd be going blind because I'd be gaining more and more weight. And so that scared, you know, that scared me to the bone. And I started doing, you know, the food program. But I never, it never dawned on me that I needed to trust in a higher power. And I remember when my sponsor would say, I hear a lot of I. Where's God, 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 God? I was like, what language is she talking about? Because that is the most foreign concept, you know, in the world. Now, forward 5 years later, I'm in OA, and I actually did have a humbling experience where I was absolutely hopeless and desperate, and I actually hit my bottom, because in all the years that I was in the food program, I have to be honest, I didn't hit rock bottom. I just didn't. I just was overweight, and I needed to lose weight so I wouldn't go blind. But I wasn't, you know, asking God for help because I was so desperate. And so now, yes, I've hit bottom. Yes, I'm trying to do everything possible. I attend 2 meetings a day. Today when I woke up, I said, God, and this is where the humility comes in. I said, God, help me stay abstinent, or help me keep myself abstinent. And, you know, I know I'm going to go order like a Mediterranean pita wrap, right, a chicken pita wrap for dinner. And I had these crackers with tuna, and I took them out of my bag. And I said, I can't even have this anywhere near me, because I think this triggered me last time where I had these strong cravings. I didn't act on the cravings. And I said, if I'm going to go to this restaurant to order this you know, pita wrap, they have desserts there. And if I eat these crackers, it's going to set up a craving where I might lose control and buy the desserts. So for me, that was a huge, just to wrap up, thank you. That was a huge win. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Regina V. in California. Okay, we have time for some more shares. Just think about four people. Please give me your first name, last initial, and location. And Hillary B. Thank you, Hillary B. Oh, and if you've shared in the last 2 days on any of the vision meetings, please leave space for others to jump in.
Robin B.
The time for two more.
Stephanie S.
It's a great day to jump in if you haven't shared before. What day of a holiday weekend? One more.
Elizabeth A.
Okay, great. We'll close there, and I'll let you know if there's space for any more. We've got Hillary B., Robin B., Stephanie S., and Elizabeth A., and if all of you could just share where you're calling from, that would be awesome. Please, everyone, mute your phone, and Hillary B., please move ahead.
Thank you so much for your service, for hearing my voice. What I've been thinking, listening to everybody share, and just how Fred was. You know, I've been in OA since 1981. Of course, my first, like, say, 9 years of the program, I wasn't really, you know, coming steadily and seriously working it. But in 1990-91, I really, really got the spiritual part of the program and really wanted to work it. And here we are in whatever year this is, 2026. I have 3 years of abstinence after all those years in program. And I realize, you know, so many people, you know, share in this program that they just wanted to lose weight. Of course I wanted to lose weight, but really what I wanted more was the spiritual experience. That's what I was focused on. I wanted only the spiritual experience because I didn't want to give up the food. I said, oh, this spiritual awakening, that will get me through. And then I won't have to worry. I won't overeat. But don't make me give up my drugs of choice, the ones that give me so much comfort, that enable me to stay in denial, and how much my quote, unquote, spiritual experience was feeding my ego. It was the total opposite of a spiritual experience. It was another justification that enabled me to continue overeating and using food to change the way I feel. But you know, some of the spiritual stuff really did help me, I think, because otherwise I would have been more out of control with food. So staying in OA and doing the work I did and having a growing faith over the years helped me at least stop binging and stop eating in secret. Those are the only two things I was able to do, but they were huge for me. And I think because of that, I didn't gain more weight than I did. But then I did finally hit a bottom. And whenever that was, like 3.5 years ago or something. And I really worked the steps. And I had a new kind of spiritual awakening and a new kind of awareness of my character defects and how food was destroying me and how I loved it more than life itself. Just give me food. And again, you know, I was so,
I'm
so overweight. And thank you for listening. Thank you for timing me. And I pass.
Thank you, Hillary B. Next up is Robin B, followed by Stephanie S.
Thank you. This is Robin B. in Ohio, living in recovery one day at a time. You know, the sentence, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. I didn't want to believe that I was a compulsive overeater, that there was something, you know, wrong with me. And I have memories of compulsive overeating as early as being 3 years old. I remember getting into the baby aspirin when I was little. I knew where mom kept it. She climbed up on a chair and got it down, and because it was like candy to me. I'm sure, you know, there was a substance in there that I liked, and it was pink. And I remember my mom catching me doing that, and she was very upset that I had done that. you know, basically overdosing on aspirin. I mean, there's other stories that I could share, but the reality is that, you know, the teenage years, I just was eating too much. You know, I couldn't exercise enough. I couldn't be physically active enough. And then, you know, and I was able to go on and graduate and get a good paying job, move out, have independence, you know, be an adult. Be in charge of, you know, what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, which included whatever I wanted to eat. And then, you know, and I was able to, you know, have a home. And so I had this persona that everything was normal on the outside, by, you know, the job, the home, the nice car, and that I had it all together. But deep down inside, I did not have it together. And during that time, you know, I thought I found God, had religious experience, and that there was still something holding me back, and it was the disease. And believing the delusions by that I just could have a little bit and I would be okay, but I could never have a little bit and be okay. And you know, I struggled with a long time, and I am so thankful that I finally found OA, and OA found me. And there is hope. I've been in recovery for almost 5 years. Well, I've been in program for almost 5 years now. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin B. in Ohio. Next up is Stephanie S., followed by Elizabeth A.
Hi, my name is Stephanie S. from Washington State. And this paragraph, it just resonates with me because from the outside, everything looked fine for me. You know, what I posted on social media, I would post after my weight loss. I would, because I was a yo-yo dieter, and also I was successful with school and my career and all that. So I can relate to Fred, and you know, times I was really down and out because of the symptoms and because of how I felt ashamed and upset about me, you know, going back to the food over and over again. But I just kept thinking, if I figure it out, I'm going to be okay. I'll figure this out. I'll figure out the tool, you know, the system, and I'll that works. And for some reason, I knew it included the 12 steps, and I knew it included God, but I didn't understand the depth of the spiritual malady. I didn't understand the depth of how I need to surrender daily, hourly, all that stuff. And when I got here 3 years ago, I thought, oh no, what is going on? I already have God. I already have a higher power. I just need to know the formula, and I'll follow the formula and fix it. And fortunately, I was able to surrender. And you know, I tried it, and I just said, what more do I have to lose, right? So I gave up because I was having a really hard time. And then so anyway, I've been here for about 3 years. God has just given me neutrality with food and so many freeing things, but I have relapsed once, and it was scary. And but anyway, I'm just saying, if you're new, just know that, you know, it, just remember that it's step 1, 2, and 3 is like the most important things right now. Don't think about other things, and that's all we have to do. It's simple, but yet it's not easy. So anyway, that's what I want to share. Thank you, everybody, for your service.
Thank you, Stephanie S. Next up is Elizabeth A. And Elizabeth, it looks like we just have about 1 minute. So you can just share about 1 minute, 90
hey,
seconds. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, this is Elizabeth A. Excuse me, my name starts with an L, and I'm in Michigan, and I'm finding it very humbling this morning to listen to these shares. I was angry when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, and I tried for the first 5 years to prove that I was the exception. I crawled in at a low bottom, 1986, bulimic, binging, purging, starving, over-exercising, D, all the above. And just angry because I was going to be the exception, and being a normal body size, which I was fairly to the outsider. But I just see, and I have never left program by the grace of God, I just see how humbling this is still. And I've lost some of my teachableness, and I'm listening, and I'm like, oh yes, I'm addicted to scrolling, and you know, I want to change how I feel. And really what I need to do is draw near to God so that He draws near to me, and just open my heart and turn my palms upward in surrender. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth A. In Michigan. Okay, thank you everyone for such amazing shares. Let's see, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I have Robin B., please read a vision for you. Page 164.
Okay, this is Robin B. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.